Blog Talk Radio.
Sing it down low for him.
Everyone, welcome to MCD Network, home of Woman to Woman, home of every second Tuesday where we discuss parenting. I am your host, Shamila Pennington, and I am excited to be with you along with Minister LaDon.
Hello, family.
And none other than our very own special, Coach D.
Well, hello. I'm in the house.
Hey, it is such an honor to get together with my sisters as we just discuss various things. If you tune in to the MCD Network on Tuesdays and Mondays, there are a lineup of shows, and Coach D is going to give us those shows and those times where you can tune in to feed your spirit and feed your soul even the more. But we are so excited to get started with the show on tonight. Again, we are live every second Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The last time we got together, we discussed the topic of going back to school. Back to school success versus stress, the whole planning motif around getting ready, getting prepared to going back to school, what that looks like, what our children go through. We did all of that last month. So this month, what we're going to discuss is time management. Most of us who have children, amen, our kids have gone back to school. And so that means that our time is different. Our summer schedule is much different from our fall schedule. Our fall schedule is much different from our spring schedule. And the success of parenting and the success that we want to teach our kids is all wrapped around time management, right? So I know some of us may be saying, you know what, I'm pretty good with my timing. Some may say, you know what, I can tighten up with my timing. And some may feel like we're on top of our timing. But we're going to talk about how to stay in balance with all of it. Because as you know, I'll just give an example today. My day was kind of one of those days where it was very eventful. Some of the things that happened today was not within my time management. It was not a part of my agenda. And so when you have things that come up, you have to learn how to shift things. You got to learn to adjust. You got to make some adjustments with all trying to manage staying within the confines of meeting the demands, meeting the appointments, making sure you pick up the kids on time, making sure you come back on time from your breaks and your lunches at work, making sure that you make your meetings if you're an entrepreneur, all these different things. So we're just going to have a good time talking around time management, learning from one another how we can tighten up our time management and also how we can learn new time management skills. And then and this is the bonus, we can help our kids with time management. This is one of the important things, helping them even manage their time as they're involved with extracurricular activities, they're involved with the next level of schooling, with each new level comes a new demand, and all these great things. And so we're going to have a good time tonight talking about time management. And I'm just going to ask, my dear sisters, how are you, Coach LaDon, Coach D, how are you ladies with time management? Is time management an issue, or do you find yourself pretty good with your time management?
It's terrible for me.
For me, I wouldn't necessarily say it's terrible. I know when it's something that I want to do. Whenever I'm doing something that I want to do, I'm way ahead of schedule. When it's something that I have a slight passion for, I'm on time. When it's something that I may not have a passion for or don't too much care for, then I'm not on time. So,
wow.
I can see the dynamic of how I utilize my time. One of the things that is sticking out for me while you were talking is it's not just our time that we're playing with. It's, you have to honor other people's time too. And so right now I'm feeling like a big finger pointing at me talking about, okay, when you're late, when you're not on time because you don't have a passion, who are you offending?
Oh, That's good. That's taking it a step further, taking responsibility and accountability, even if it's something that you may not like. The person who's waiting in the balance, who's waiting for you to show up, and whose time are we not respecting, so to speak. And so, Coach D, you said not good at all?
I'm finding it is not. I'm trying to do better because what Minister LaDon said is it's very important. We should always be operating in a spirit of excellence, especially because of who we serve. And so I'm really trying to do better because I tell you, my time management at times is just all over the place. And before I know it, I have 10,000 things that I need to get done. Perfect example is with my travels, wait till the last minute to pack, a little bit procrastination. So I am trying to get better. So I'm interested to see what the Holy Spirit says through you to help me.
Amen. Amen. Well, one of the things I always like to break down, you guys know that I'm like, breaking down the word and what it really means. And time management is none other than an act or process of planning and exercising conscious control over the amount of time spent on a specific activity, especially to increase one's effectiveness, efficiency, or productivity. And one of the things I can say, last year the Lord really placed on my heart the word productivity. And it was not so much of doing a whole bunch of things, but being productive. And so I'll usually, on Facebook in my greetings in the morning, I always tell people to have a productive day. Because having a good day is one thing, but when you have a productive day, that means you're being effective. You're getting some things done. You're getting some accomplishments done. And as a parent, one of the things I looked at and realized is my kids get their time management skills from me. So if I mismanage time, if I kind of blow things off, if I'm not taking things seriously, if I'm making promises and not meeting those promises, if I'm saying I'm going to be somewhere and I don't show up, those are all habits that I'm actually transferring over to our kids. A lot of times our kids are in the position where they're just like, well, Mom, you said, and it's like, yeah, but this came up. And what we're really doing is, and of course they can make their own decision, but we're planting seeds of bad time management. We are planting seeds of being unproductive. We are planting seeds of teaching them that it's not important to be effective. One of the things I can say, my daughter, she absolutely hates to be late anywhere. That means school included. If we're supposed to be somewhere at 8 o'clock, she wants us there at 7:45. She don't want us there at 8:50. She definitely does not want to show up, a minute late. She doesn't want to show up on the dot. She likes to show up early, and I love that about her. And so she'll oftentimes remind me, like, they'll be like, Mom, it's such and such time. They're like my countdown. So it's such and such time. This is after the alarm and the notifications have gone off. And I thank God for that, because there are times, and a lot of times, when you're a parent, I understand that things can come up. We plan our day to the best of our ability. We know, and one of the things that I will say can get in our way is we become so, we're by routine. When we do things by routine, we leave out the, we forget to make room for exceptions. We forget to make room for somebody's out, spilling juice on their outfit. We forget to make time and make room for traffic. We get into the habit of routine, and routine can be bad. Routine can work for you on one hand, but on the other hand, if we get into the habit of routine, it can be bad because it becomes monotonous. And then when something comes up, we just fall completely out of shape. We are just like discombobulated. We don't know where nothing is. We're flustered. We get in the car. We're sweating. I don't know if you guys, any of you guys, but I know when I'm running late, I'm like hot. Like I'm like, I just get like really hot. Like all of a sudden this oven comes on and I'm just like, you know, sweat beads be on my forehead. I'm hot because I'm anxious. And so managing our time is a tool of strategy that we must use. And the way that it's going to help us as we navigate through life with managing our time is teaching our kids how to manage their time, how to manage their study habits, how to manage their day, how to prioritize their day. And I know sometimes it can be like, well, I don't have time to do this because I typically do this, this, this. I go to Starbucks at this time. I get dressed at this time. I do this, this. And when we live off of that routine, and sometimes it's to our detriment too, when we don't allow ourselves room to change. Change up that old stale schedule. Change it up. Get up at a different time. Go to bed at a different time. Do something different. Shake up that schedule. Do something a little bit different. Don't do the same thing every day all the time. And then get into the practice of timing yourself. I was talking to my youngest daughter yesterday, and she was telling me, she said, Mom, she was taking one of the our spare cell phone, she was taking it with her, and she said, I'm going to time how long it takes me to get dressed and how long it takes me to do this and how long. And I was like, wow. Now, that's not something she's taught me, but I can say she has been watching. She has had some wise stewards of time and productivity in front of her. But she was timing herself to see how fast things are going to take. And I think sometimes we need to do that so that we don't undermine and mismanage and take for granted how long things are going to take in order for us to get them done. So as parents, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
One of the things while you're talking, and especially when you were speaking about when you get anxious when you're late, what stood out for me is that time management is such a spiritual principle. And I'm not saying this to be, you know, holier than thou or religious or anything like that, but if you take a look at time management and you understand, like you said, that anxiety that you go through when you are late, or especially for our children when they show up at school late and they have no control over the time, and then the teachers are getting on them and everybody's laughing, you start chipping away at their confidence level. You start chipping away at their ability to feel like they're capable. It has such a spiritual impact on your self-confidence and self-esteem, especially anxiety, because when you're sitting in anxiety, you feel less prepared or more worried about things that you should not necessarily have your mind on. If you're going to speak somewhere and you're anxious because you're running late and, you know, you can barely pay attention to traffic, when that time you should be meditating or relaxing so that you can, you know, come and do your presentation in excellence, that time management, if you don't use it, it can really be detrimental to your health and your spiritual and emotional being.
Exactly. Exactly. I know what it's like. I've been in a position before. If you've ever been, I don't know if anybody's ever been around somebody who was always late, and they're always in that perpetual rush. They're always in that like rush, rush, rush. It literally, like you say, it creates an anxiety. And that wasn't being too deep, because we are believers, and we go by the word. And so as a matter of fact, my scripture that I'm studying for the week with a group of sisters that I do ministry with, is Psalms 90 and 12. And so tonight I was just like, wow, I was like, this is so crazy, because this scripture came up on Sunday And the scripture is simply, teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. And when we number our days, but that's also just teaching us, like, teach us to be wise stewards over our time, to govern our day accordingly. Just going back and looking at, and I use us as parents because we don't realize, like, we are truly our children's first models. We set the standard for how they do things. And so when we find ourselves spending, you know, extra amount of time on Facebook, we spend X amount of time on the cellular phone, especially if it's unproductive, you know what I'm saying, like unproductive talk, because we can be on the phone catching up. But if you're always on the phone and it's not productive and you're not, you know, helping, they're watching that. They're watching how we're spending our time. So how dare us tell them? Because first thing, you're not using your time wisely. You know, that's one of the things that parents usually tell their kids is you're not using your time wisely. But in order for us to make that statement, we have to be wise stewards over the time that God has given us, wise stewards over the time and the hours that we have and the minutes and the seconds that we have in the day. I want to say it's like, I think it's 86, don't quote me, I just saw something, someone sent me something this week, and it was talking about the amount of seconds in each day, and I want to say it was like 86,000 something seconds in each day. And when you think of it, when you break things down in that, like, what am I doing with each second? How am I living this thing out? And I'm not saying, when we talk about time management isn't just to be doing something every second of every moment of every day. That is absolutely insane. Time management is simply creating a structure. It takes practice and intentionality to get organized and prioritizing your day, prioritizing your calendar. I did that also this week. I went through my daughter's volleyball schedule. I had to prioritize when her games were. So when I know when her games were, because family is the first ministry, amen. So when I know amen. When her games are, then I can begin to align my day with what is the priority of the household. What is the priority of my first ministry, which is my family? And so I begin to say, okay, well, I have this at this time. So between this time and that time, I don't do anything. But one thing that I had to learn, and I just learned this recently, like this year, you have to block out some time to do nothing. And I know that sounds insane, and we don't do that too well. But we have to learn to block out some time that it's not dedicated to the kids. It's not dedicated to the career. It's not dedicated to anything else but just being still. We need to have some be still time in our day, and also incorporate times of rest. And we have to teach our kids this because we can be just on them. You have to do this. You have to. And I watch my kids go through their day, and I'm sure each of you have said, because each of you ladies, you have kids too, so I know you've seen your kids. Sometimes they just keep going, and we discount it. Oh, they're young. They just have energy. And it's like, no, we have to teach them to rest. We have to teach them to slow down, to take a break. As they're organizing, it's great to teach them to organize. It's great to teach them to prioritize. It's great to do all of those things. But, however, we want to make sure that they're also factoring in some rest time, some downtime, some family time, some quiet time to read a book, some quiet time to just do nothing, to just sleep, to just allow their body to go into that rest state.
Amen, amen. You know, I learned that lesson because I have one of my daughters, she gets sick quite a bit. And one of the things that I noticed is that her having to go to the hospital was in relation to how much energy she exerted throughout her day. So if she was busy, busy, busy all week long, I knew she would end up in the hospital. Through that experience, I learned that, you know, everyone needs to rest at some point in time, just to be still. You don't have to hang out with your friends all the time. You don't have to do stuff for people all the time. Sometimes you need to just take a moment to just rest your body and be still.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, you know, when you're carrying a heavy load, and we are all women of our own rights, entrepreneurs, running businesses and managing families and managing our own personal lives. And so in that, we're planning the activities of our kids, spending time with our friends, because this is the thing, when we don't manage our time, things suffer. If you don't manage, because you're going to run out of time, right? That's why I just, on the post, I'm like, we could all use a couple extra hours in a day where we're like, if I had like 2 more hours, you know, or if I had a flat and that, you know, if I wasted an hour on the side of the road, I can't get that hour back. However, when we begin to just prioritize our activities, prioritizing spending time with our friends, prioritizing making time for engagements. You may not be able to make it to every engagement, but, you know, just allowing yourself once a month or, you know, twice a month, I'm going to make it to a special engagement. I'm going to go and support a friend at a special engagement, making some time for work, making sure. And that, for me, that's been a huge thing. And I think when you're an entrepreneur and you're running a business, the way that you manage your time is huge. And it also really speaks volumes to your kids because you're your own boss. You're your own boss. And so you really have to have those time management skills down to a science. You have to really bring things in so that you know exactly where each moment of each day has gone. Because if you sit on Facebook or you sit on social media or if you sit on the phone, time will get away from you. And you look up and it's like, oh, my gosh. It's mid-afternoon. I've got to go to the next thing. I've got to get to the next, you know, my next appointment or what have you. And so I just know that, and even teaching our kids how to manage their activities, how to manage their friends, how to manage their engagement, and also managing time spent with the family, time spent being able to spend time with their family and be able to spend time with their friends. One of the things I know, you know, as a parent, when you talk about when we're looking at time management and teaching our kids time management, especially as they go, and I'm just going to say high school because high school has been different for me. I don't know if you could agree, Coach D and LaDon, high school is a different animal all in of itself. It is nothing like elementary school. It is nothing like middle school. It requires time management. Do you guys agree?
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely.
It requires a different level of time management. And one of the things I know that is essential is teaching our kids to take blocks, like blocking times of study time, like not to overstudy. Because kids, especially if they're high achievers and they have these goals, or if they didn't do so well last year and they kind of have us riding on them, you know, you better stay on top of your stuff. You better, sometimes they can overhit it and they can overstudy. Like, I was one that I had to study a certain type of way. I was the kid that had to have the music in my ears. I was a multitasker. I'm like, I can listen to music and study. And my dad used to be like, girl, you turn that music off. You can't be studying. You're not processing anything, listening to. And I'm like, yes, I am. And I watch my oldest son. He does the same thing. He has his music on, and he is studying. He's reading. He's doing, you know, the pencil is constantly moving across that paper. But he's multitasking. And so one of the things that I encourage them to do is to take blocks of time of studying. Like, don't just cram it all in. Sometimes you have to come up for a breath of air. You have to breathe. You don't want to just jump into your studies without a plan. You need to make a plan. In order to be effective in our study habits, effective in our planning, effective in our time management, we need to have a plan. What is the plan going to be? What is the outcome that we're looking for? And then also, too, weighing ourselves, like checking in with ourselves to see how did I do this week? How did I do with, you know, my studying? How did I do with my reading? How long did it take me? If it took me a little longer this week, what was it? Was I tired? Was I distracted? The environment that I may be studying in, taking into account all of these different things so that they can get the best of their time. I heard, I don't know, I think it was Coach D. Coach D, who said something about procrastination?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Coach D said something about procrastination, and that was like the story of my life. It was like the time was on the clock, the time was in the week, the time was in the day, and I would look at that thing and just be like, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. Later came and never got done. I'll do it later. I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow came and it just would never get done. And procrastination is like the biggest purpose sabotager. It is the biggest sabotage of our time, sabotage of our value too, like when you think about it, because it just comes and it's so subtle because you're softly lying to yourself. Oh, I'm going to do it. There's no accountability for self. There's no accountability for when you're going to get it done because you haven't committed to anything. A lot of times we haven't put anything on the calendar. We haven't set some standards for ourselves.
One of the things I know this year, the word commitment was huge to me, because when you put something down on the calendar and you put a date to it, you're committed to it. Like, you're committed to it. Now, we have people that make commitments, that break that make commitments and break them. Now, that's an integral issue. That's something that is strongly and highly an integral issue, because you're not supposed to break your commitments. Does that mean things are going to happen? Things come up, life happens, things that are outside of your realm of scope that you didn't see, unforeseen things? Absolutely. But when you make a commitment, we want to honor those commitments. We want to be men and women of integrity. We want to raise children who are integral, that when they make a commitment that I'm going to do this, that they do it. When we sign up, like when you sign your kids up for sporting activities, when they sign their name on that athlete's application, guess what? And when you sign your name, you're making a commitment with them that I'm going to, when they're telling the coach I'm going to be at practice on time, you're saying I'm going to get there, I'm going to get them there on time. And this is an area that I had to really look at myself and look at things and say, wait a second, let me really look at this, because it's so cute to sign your kids up for everything and to put them in this and put them in that, until you get the schedule, until you get the prerequisites of what it's going to cost for training. The time, when I say cost, I'm talking about counting up the time. How much time is going to be invested throughout the week that may infringe on some of your time? How are you going to have to reorganize and reprioritize things and reshape things so that things don't fall off? And so when you sign your kids up, know that you are signing yourself up. So if they have practice from this time to that time, then that means that time is now carved out of your day, because you have a commitment to get them there on time and to pick them up on time and et cetera, et cetera. So,
you know,
go ahead.
You know, Evangelist Camila, there was two things that you you said that I just want to touch upon that really stood out for me. One, the chunking of time. I think that's such an awesome idea, because not only is it great for the overachiever, it's really excellent for the student who has the habit of not achieving as well as they would like to, or as well as their parents would like for them to. One of the things is when you, like you said, when you sit down for too long at one time, they might feel like they can't get things done, they don't understand it, but it would be good for them to sit down, do 10, do 15 minutes, take a moment to walk away and come back and look at it with fresh eyes, because then they'll be in the habit of studying more often. They'll create a habit of studying more often, and once they begin to understand what they're working on, they'll start to enjoy studying. And when you break it up into pieces, they won't feel so overwhelmed and hate study time. So that was one of the things really stick out. Again, the person who's not achieving as well as they can be or would like to. And then what stood out also when you were talking about the integrity issue of not keeping commitment, time management is such a big part of that. And I love how you brought out that as adults, as parents, we are the models of our children. We are models for our children, because time management is the beginning of not keeping your integrity. And as parents, a lot of times we think it's so unimportant to keep that integrity with our children. Oh, we're in charge, or we're going to work, or their thing that they're doing is less important than what I'm doing. But we're teaching our children that it's okay to step outside of being integral.
Exactly.
People that are seemingly important to you, are supposed to be important. Our children are supposed to be very important. So if we step out of our integrity with them, we're teaching them, hey, it doesn't matter if they're important, it doesn't matter if they're not important. It's okay when you have something to do. It's okay when you center your keeping your integrity around yourself, your self needs,
right,
and your self desires.
Ooh, that's good. That is good, because that's exactly what it is. It's, you know, and because sometimes, and I'll be honest, I've said that before.
I don't know if I was late getting off the freeway or whatever, and I was picking my son up, taking him to practice. I don't know if it was football practice, and his coach got on him and made him run extra, you know, did an extra lap or, you know, just kind of got really hard on him with the practice. And I was like, he don't drive. He don't have no license. Like, why are you being hard? Because when I signed that list, guess what? I signed the commitment that we're going to be here on time. So that means I needed to have taken into account what time I got off of work, how long it was going to take me from traffic to get him to his practice, to his games. You know, with all of that, those are the things that I don't think we really look at. It's like it's great, but it is really a commitment. Like when you're, and we're teaching them, and even when your kids get to the place, because I remember my daughter one time, she just did not want to go to practice. And I'm like, listen, we're in this together. And we can motivate them at the same time, because they are going to, we have those days where we what, just don't want to go to work, right? We just like, we not sick, you know, but we just don't feel like it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like they have those moments where they don't feel like it. But for me, I'm like, listen, I'm in this thing with you. I'm committed. So, yes, come on, we're going to go. And so you give them that pep talk. You encourage them. You know, you got two more days of practice. It's going to be over. Then you can rest, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But encouraging them and holding them up to that standard that even when I'm tired, I'm going to press. And I'm not saying tired to the point of burning yourself out, but understanding that you're going to press because we've made a commitment. We've absolutely made a commitment. We want to honor our word. One of the things I was thinking about when I was just, you know, thinking about the whole topic and just how God was just speaking through the whole time management. And I just thought back in the day, you remember back in the day, I say back in the day, but I think some folks still do this. Show up fashionably late. What is fashionably late? What is that? Can somebody help me? What was fashion? What is that? We would intentionally show up late places. Yes. We're fashionably late. Like, you know, and I know, like, when I'm speaking in terms of, like, you know, going out, like you would just show up. If something started at 9, you show up at 10, but you show up at 10 because you were spending a little extra time getting yourself together. So now you're fashionably late. You're making a fashion statement, but I'm just like, how backwards was that? Like, what was that? Like, who said that that was okay? And I know that a lot of women live by that. Like, oh, you know, we're going to be fashionably late. Like, if something starts at 9, they're like literally getting up and getting dressed at 9, like, oh, we'll get there around 10. Oh, we'll get there, you know, around this time, because they, you know, only plan on staying a couple of hours, but that's not integral. Like, that's not cool. But we've kind of been cultured to do those kind of things and to think it's okay to show up sometimes fashionably late. Fashionably late, you know, like you're making a fashion statement if you show up late. So I just had that thought. I was just like, where'd that come from?
Especially when it comes to a date or, you know, something like that, a lot of times the girls are taught if you're on time for that person, then you shouldn't be on time. You should at least make him wait 20, 30 minutes, 15 minutes before you come down or while you get dressed. He gets there on time, and you make him sit outside and wait in the car. You know, different things like that. I remember.
You know what I mean? Like, exactly. And so when you say that, I just think about the times where it's like, okay, you make them wait. So then when the guy says, you know, I remember my kid's father used to always, you know, he'd call on his way home from work, and I would say, you know, where are you? Oh, I'm about 5 minutes away. 5 minutes was like, you have not even gotten off the freeway yet. Like, what is that? Like, that's not five. I'm right around the corner. No, you have not even exited the freeway. Like, what is that? So just, you know, just little things that we have done, things that we've been conditioned to do, things that we have grown accustomed to, things that our parents did that we picked up, and not knowing that we can kind of pass these things down when we're just not, you know, all the way honest. But thank God for GPS. I thank God for GPS, because GPS will give you about as an accurate arrival time. Sometimes it will give you an accurate arrival time so that you can be, you know, a little more punctual. And just, you know, with being on time and not being tardy and making sure that you show up when you're supposed to be there. One of the things I love, like this show, for instance, we start on time. Like, we could say, well, we're just going to wait for people to show up. So we're going to wait for people to remember that it's this time. No, we start on time. Then it will teach people. And when you start on time, when you have the integrity up, if we start at 9 o'clock, guess what? At 9 o'clock, we get going. We're not waiting to 9:05. We're not waiting to 9:10. We're not waiting to 9:30. Because the people who did show up, And this is what I love. When you honor somebody's time, there was somebody who got up to be here at 8:30 because you said it was going to start at 8:30. But if you don't start until 9, you dishonor the person who showed up at 8:30 expecting to receive at 8:30. Not 9:15, not 9:20, because we're waiting for other people to show up who decide, you know, whatever life event may have happened, whatever the case may have been, because like I said, sometimes life happens and it's unforeseen things. However, when we get into the habit of that, we teach people, guess what, this is going to start on time. I want to be on time. I want to arrive on time. I want to be somebody who can be counted on too. We typically call on the people who we can count on, right? Like when it comes to time, even if we've mismanaged our time, if we just, you know, we're still working on that time issue, we typically call on the people who are going to show up on time. Somebody we can count on that, you know, it's like, oh, you know, yeah, they're going to be there. Like I can call them because I know they're going to absolutely be there. The one who is late, they are the last person that we are going to schedule. They're the last person we reach out to. They're just the last person that we're going to call because they don't show up on time. They're just, you know, not punctual.
You know, as you were saying that, and I don't know if Minister LaDonna had mentioned earlier, but as you were saying that, it just sticks out. You know, I was asking myself, what are the things that I'm generally late? I used to be always on time and early, but I noticed that as I got older, I find myself always, you know, not always late, but I was asking myself, what are the things that I'm generally late to and what are the things I'm generally on time to? And so when I did that, the things I was thinking about was things that I didn't view as important or no big deal. But the reality of it is that you wouldn't be late. I mean, not me. Now, there are people that are, and they don't understand. But I wouldn't be late to an interview. I wouldn't be late to collect, you know, if I want some money. You know, I wouldn't be late if it was something that was going to truly benefit me. So why would I be late for, you know? So it's a form of disrespect. And whether it's just, you know, some people just don't necessarily take it like that. But it is, because it's saying, it is. It's just it's that you don't matter or you're not a priority.
Right.
You know, it's a form of dissing. It's kind of like the, you know, how coach does the exercise where he kind of throws the pencil on the ground and then he has it where he takes the pencil and he just kind of heavily places it in your hand. And he was basically showing the different ways of disrespect. Well, being late is that silent form of disrespect. You didn't say nothing mean. You didn't necessarily, you know, nothing that was obvious, but being late says you don't matter or what you're doing is not important to me.
Right. Absolutely. That is absolutely the truth, because I think about a time last year I got my son to school late, and I remember watching him, like, run, like he was trying to get there, and I was just like, I had to stop for a minute. I was like, wow, I was like, what is he thinking? Like, you know, is it going to be like everybody going to be looking at him when he walks in? Like, and it wasn't that I intentionally got him there late, but I guess I could have, you know, drove a little bit faster, a little more expeditiously to get him there. But it just, like, it was something that just, like, touched me. Like, wait a minute. Like, I don't, because I know how it is to walk into a room full of people when you're late. Like, it's not a good feeling. Some people are okay with it because that is, again, it's a character issue. It's an integrity issue, right? But it's not really a good thing when stuff has got going. Don't it always seem like the door creaks, like everybody stops and turns and looks at you, and don't have a facilitator or a teacher that says, welcome, Shamila, I'm glad you're joining us tonight. They just put you all the way on the spot, and you just want to, like, oh, my gosh, I cannot believe it. And then you've got to ease in your bag to get your pens out, and you don't want to be disruptive. And so it brings about a very uncomfortable feeling when you're late, when you don't manage your time. I know as parents, like, so going back, talking about us ladies and our single parents, are not even so much single parents, but our parents, just managing the time, managing, how do you find yourself with managing, like you just said earlier, Coach D, like packing, like waiting to the last minute to pack. Things that we could, you know, of course we could do it earlier. We could kind of run things off in our head, the outfits we're going to wear. I'm going to pack this, I'm going to pack that. Yeah, I got this. I'm going to do that on Friday. So instead of just saving ourselves some time to pack it and have it by the door, we just kind of wait. Like, you know, we just kind of, and one thing I can say is our schedules have not gotten any less. They've actually picked up volume. So how do we do? How do you know? Just how, for you ladies, can you just tell me like what your day is like? Like just if you can just give me a rundown of the day, and if this is something that you do routinely or does it change for you?
Day changes constantly. I've been driving for my aunt and going to school at the same time, so I get up. I'm out of the door at the very least by 6:30, and when I get out at 6:30, that's pushing my time to where I don't feel like I have play time in my driving. So I'm driving from 6:30 to 9:30, and then I'm off. I come home and I do some studying, and I start back driving at 12:30 to about 3 o'clock, 3:30, and then I'm at school till 9 o'clock.
Wow. So, are you? Because you know. So within all of that, is there any rest time for LaDon? Like, is there any you time in between there?
You know what? Today I took a during my break time, the time that I come home, I had to go grocery shopping, and by the time I got back to the house, it was probably like 11:30, 11:40, and I slept. I said I'm gonna sleep until 12:30, just so I could get some rest, and that was my rest time. But when I go to school, I do take breaks in between my class, my labs or my classes. I will take a break, and then when I get home, I'll rest. When the weekend comes, I'll try and take time to really just, you know, do whatever it is that I want to do and be still. But through the week, I do pretty much push it to capacity.
Wow. And that's one of the and I'm going to come to you, Coach D, too, because that's one of the areas that we have to develop our plan to begin to allocate our time, like really begin to allocate our time to this is what I'm going to do in this time, and then this time I'm going to be intentional. And even if that means setting an alarm and naming it my intentional time, my me time, I'm not going to do anything. And then sometimes realizing and recognizing and making the difference between stuff that's priority, urgent, or not so urgent, stuff that can literally wait until the next day, things that can absolutely wait to the next day. There's an author, Joanna Weaver, I believe it is. She had one of her books. She talks about this exercise, and it was kind of an exercise for people who have like all of these things going on in their day. And so the exercise pretty much has you to write down, just take a blank sheet of paper, write down everything that you have to do, everything that you must do, just write everything down. So if that's taking the kids out, doing laundry, got to, you know, check this, check the bank, all of the things that you have to do in that day. And what you do after you've written everything down, you go to the far left column, and then you begin to write 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, till you get to the bottom, the very bottom of your list. Everything with the 4 on it has to fall off. So you don't get an opportunity to kind of, you know, like sneak prioritize your list. Like everything with the 4 on it has to fall off, because that means that you're overstacked. You only have room for the 1s, the 2s, and the 3s. Anything with the 4 on it, you're overloaded. You're at capacity. It has to fall off. You can try to make room for it in your day tomorrow, but today these things don't get done. And oh my gosh, when we did that exercise, I was like, wait, but I need to get that. But wait. It was so many of my 4s that were like priority, but it's again, allocating your time and bringing some priority and some structure to your day. Sometimes less is more. Less is actually more. And I know sometimes with us having our schedule stacked, we've got so much to do. Coach D, you travel a lot with work. So, you know, prioritizing how you're going to set up the household, prioritizing, you know, who's going to take care of your son when you're away, all of those things, prioritizing your rest when you get to the airport, allowing yourself that time, that check-in time, because, you know, sometimes that security check, that TSA check, unless you have that pass where you just kind of, you know, you breeze right on through TSA.
Well, you know, that TSA. Right, I do have that. I don't have a TSA, and I'm working on getting that as we speak. But I do have Clear, and that's only at certain airports. But one, it's funny because I'm not late to the airport. And I think, so that tells me that I have the ability to not be late. I'm not late to the airport because I had some, I had a couple experiences where I didn't plan properly, rushing to the airport, and had to get the security and run to get to my gate, which was a ways away. And the feeling of that, the panic, the what it does to your body, I did not like. Mm-hmm. And then I just made a commitment to myself that I was going to never put myself in that situation of potentially just passing out and having, you know, something crazy just trying to get to a gate rushing. So ironically, I always give myself, a few hours to get to the airport, get parked, and get there. And I would rather be there early and have to sit and wait for my flight than to be there and rush in and miss my flight.
Okay. That is awesome. That because I know that feeling of getting ready to miss a plane because it's like I got to get there. I don't know, you know, am I going to have to pay to change to get on another flight? All of that like that anxiousness, the anxiety, the panic, all of that stuff that your body goes through. Can you just imagine your adrenaline? Everything is going. Everything is pumping and going. That comes with, you know, that not allocating and strategically planning our day. So I don't know if we have any callers in the queue or anybody that wants to ask any questions, Coach D, before we go into just the next phase of our dialogue tonight about time management.
Okay. Well, we do have not callers. If you are interested or you have a comment or a question, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a comment or a question, and we'll be more than glad to bring you in. How do you manage your time? What are some things that you put into practice that has helped you be more efficient? Those are the things that we would like to hear. So, again, feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad, and we could definitely bring you in. Evangelist, we could just continue. And if someone dials 1, then I'll definitely bring them in.
Perfect. So, yeah, this has been really good, just talking around time management and managing our time and our day. And I think one of the areas that we did not talk about was rest. And managing our time, that's one of the areas that I'm learning to do is just to rest. That's just to be still, not be in the doing, not be a human doer, but being a human being, making sure that I carve out time in my day to just be, to just rest, not to be on the phone, not to be trying to figure out anybody else's life, anybody else's issues, but just to rest, to sit at the feet of my Father and to be replenished, to be refueled. I know doing ministry, after going out on a ministry assignment, once you're done with that, whether you have one ministry, two ministry assignments, you just need a time. Like after you pour it out, you need time to be filled back up. And in the same way it is in the spiritual, it's the same way in the natural. After we've done all of these things, because sometimes we can get so busy in our day that we forget to eat. Like we are like, oh, you know, I forgot to eat. We can get so busy in our day where we don't even go out, like especially if you're, you know, I won't say that you're antisocial, but if you work in an environment that's not exactly friendly, we tend to stay in our offices. We're like, I don't want to go to lunch with them. I'll just stay in my office. And you find yourself where you're just in the same office space. And you need to get up. You need to go and get some natural source of vitamin D, some sunlight. Go sit outside. Find a quiet place outside. Get some fresh air. Do something different. Get up. Get that blood circulating. Get up from behind that desk. Go take a walk outside. Just do something different. We've got to get into the habit of doing that. We've got to get into the habit of taking pauses throughout our day so that we can be successful, so that we can be the best that we can be when we take pauses in our day, and then we also take that time of rest and reprieve. It's so important that we are recharged, that we are refueled, and that we're functioning at top capacity. I know when my kids first started school, I had a day during the week where I was just, you can be so tired that you're like almost fatigued, like no matter how much you try to keep going, no matter how much you try to keep pressing, that engine is telling you, if you don't get some food and some rest, we just going to shut down.
we're absolutely going to shut down. And a lot of us, we can't afford to shut down. We cannot afford it. Our families need us. Your career, your job, you're needed. And in order for you to be effective, you need to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves. We need to make sure that we're eating properly. We need to make sure that we're making time for ourselves. And even outside of, I know we've talked a lot about work. We've talked a lot about our kids' activities, but making sure that we make some time for some fun stuff, that we make some time to go to the park, make some time to go to the beach, go sit by the lake, whatever that may look like for you, but make sure you just take that time to just to be quiet. We've gotten so into the habit of just having to be here, be there, be on, to where we have kind of forgotten how to just be. I took a weekend, recently, to where we just relaxed. Like they didn't want to do anything. They are learning to just relax and to take that time when they don't have anything demanding their time or demanding their schedule, that they just want to relax. They just want to have that time, because we don't do that too much often. We don't have those movie days where we can all just kind of lay around and watch movies together and just kind of hang out and just be in the company of one another. And we need that. We absolutely need that. Moms, my single moms out there, it is important for you to have some girlfriend time. It is important for you to have some downtime. If that means going to get a pedicure, a manicure, whatever that looks like, taking a book, going to a park, finding yourself some shade, take a blanket. Yeah, it might sound, but take a blanket. Go do some, find yourself some solitude, some peace to just do, and do something different. I'm really in this year just doing something different. Do something that you don't typically do. Get outside of the box. Get outside of routine. I had to learn how to go to lunch and take myself to lunch by myself. Like just, you know, because before I wouldn't do that. But I don't mind going to have lunch by myself. You know, go have a salad or go have coffee and tea and read one of your favorite books. Pick up on some reading, you know, whatever's on your Kindle, whatever, you know, is in your reading library that you need to catch up on. Do some of these things so that you can find just some you time, some me time, some downtime is so important, even for fathers, to just get out. Work on your car, do whatever your hobby may be. Doing those things is so important to make time for those little things that, you know, we kind of forget to do. I know for some, if you're always working, you work late hours, you may only be able to cook on the weekends. And when you get into that kitchen and you start throwing that minced garlic and them chopped onions around, and that passion just comes back. It's like, wow, I really love cooking. Like, I haven't cooked this in a long time because you haven't had time to do it. And so this is where we take the opportunity to make time to do those things that we absolutely love, where we take time to spend time with our loved ones, where we're really prioritizing our day so that we can complete some things, so that we can make the best use of our time, so that we can model after Psalms 90 and 12, where God can teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days that we may grow in wisdom. We grow in wisdom when we number our days, because we're no longer throwing around time like it doesn't matter. We're no longer in a place where we're just, you know, living vicariously, but we're living on purpose for a purpose. And when you live on purpose, you teach your children how to live on purpose for a purpose. You teach them. And that, I mean, it goes back to, you know, setting bedtimes. It goes back to having an alarm to wake you up. It goes back to all of those little basic things. When we live on purpose for a purpose, we have productive days. Even when they're eventful, they're productive. Even in the midst of being an eventful day where the things came up that were not planned, were not a part of your schedule, they are still they're still productive. We can still get the productivity out of that day. So, and also I want to talk, because I told you routine can work for you or it can work against you. And so harnessing the power of routine, that means that you take routine and you take the reins of routine, and you don't let routine become monotony for you. You don't allow it to do that. You don't allow routine to dictate your day, but you take the power, you take the reins of routine, and you work that thing. You work your day down to the time where you look up, it's like, wow, I didn't realize, because I got everything that I needed to do done. I encourage everyone to get a journal. Get something to write out what you need to do. We should not, I just don't believe that you should go to bed with just kind of when I get up in the morning, I'll figure it out. of course we seek the Lord. I get on my knees and pray every morning and ask God to order my steps, to guide my steps, because although I've written down what needs to be done, Lord, I thank you that you're going to give me the strength, you're going to guide me to accomplishing everything that is on this list. And what doesn't get done, Father, I thank you that your grace is sufficient for it, because God's grace is absolutely sufficient. And one of the things that I've been encouraged and one of the things that I've learned this year is that God will give you accomplishing grace to complete each and every task that he has called our hands to complete each and every task that he has assigned to us. He will give you, not only is his grace sufficient, but he will give you accomplishing grace. So even when the pressures, even when the weight of responsibilities come, he will grace you to do it. And sometimes in his gracing us to do it as parents, he will send help alongside. He will send somebody that will say, I'll take your kid to practice. I'll do this or I'll do that. I'll pick up this responsibility over here. Hey, you guys want to have dinner with us? That is the way that our God is so good, that he will allow us accomplishing grace and he will send help to help us throughout our day as we're managing and we're being wise stewards over our day, as we're governing over our day as wise stewards and not just throwing away time and wasting time, developing self-discipline in our day. That's another huge thing, developing self-discipline, being disciplined in our day, allocating our time, making sure that you allow, and you teach people how to honor your time. Don't allow people to mismanage your time. Don't allow people to suck away the seconds of your day, the productive part of your day. Know when the productive hour of your day is. You may be a night owl, but you may get a lot of work done in the evening hour. Now, if you got a job to go to, you might have to pray and, you know, ask God's help because you don't want to be late to work. But know when you are on. Know the time that you are on and that you are the most productive, that you are the most efficient. Know that about yourself. Know that, and teach your kids to know that about themselves. And then when you learn about what, because I know, for instance, my daughters, they're not morning children. They're just not morning people. Like, and so I pray, like, Lord, don't let them have a math class or, you know, during the morning hours, like, let it be around second period because they're not morning kids. And so when you know that your kids are not morning kids, you really have to work with them. You have to make sure they have their brain food. And then you also have to make sure they go to bed early enough to get the rest that they need. So then when they do get up, it doesn't seem like it's overwhelming for them. So making sure that we're allocating our time, doing things in small increments. Sometimes that's better than doing things all at once. If you've ever been somebody who has tried to take on a big task, you find yourself tired. You can't think. You know, things are slipping. You're losing track of what to do next. You're missing parts. If you're putting something together, those frustrations come up when we're trying to take on a huge task. We will be more effective if we did it in smaller increments. If we did a little bit, you know, I'm going to allocate 2 hours to doing this and then I'm going to come back to it. Yeah, sometimes things have a time stamp on it, but if we allocate our time, if we take them in small increments, we will accomplish big tasks with better force. We will accomplish big tasks with greater efficiency and effectiveness. I think that's all that I have for us this evening. It has been a wonderful joy and a privilege just going over some of the time management, the time management skills, the areas that we need to tighten up. And I hope that the last piece of information that I provided will help all of those out there who are just in a place where it's like, it just does not seem like there's enough time in the day. It just seems like time gets away from you, or you just need another 24 hours added to your day. God's grace, if you don't hear anything else, understand that God's grace is sufficient, especially when we desire to be wise stewards over the time that he has given us. Even if you don't have the answer in the day, if you are a wise steward and you stay before him, I promise you he will give you the answer. He will send the people. He will give you exactly what you need because he is so faithful. And he is so good like that. Trust me, I've tried him, and he's proved himself time and time again. Amen. Minister LaDon, did you have anything else?
No, just gosh, I feel convicted.
Aww.
No, but that's a good thing. You know, I'm true to my convictions, but I feel convicted because I know that I have to really do better with my time. And I, like I said, it's so weird because I've always been a stickler for time and being on time or being earlier. And I, like I said, it just all of a sudden happened. And I think my timing got worse. I have a 30-year-old, but then I waited until I was almost 40 to have my last son. And it was after I had my last son, I would have to say that that I got, that I just kind of got behind. And I don't know if that had to do with, when you have to pull not just yourself together, like you said, you have, four kids and having to pull them together, which means that you really got to either a lot more time. And I think I just got to a point where, I built bad habits. Bad habits of, sleep in an extra 30 minutes. You're tired. Sleep in an extra 30 minutes. You wake up early, but then you find all 10,000 other things that was never on your list to do, and you start doing those, and before you know it, oh, my gosh, I need to be getting out the house. So I'm just going to – this call has encouraged me to just be, to be more mindful and be more conscious of my time so that I could manage it better so I could get more accomplished in any given day. Not so much with being somewhere on time. That's definitely. But I think the biggest thing for me is managing my time. So if I know I only have 8 hours to get something done, not trying to stuff 20 hours worth of stuff into an 8-hour period and then being frustrated because I didn't get everything accomplished that I need to get accomplished, which then, like you said, has to roll over to the list for the next day where you already had stuff. So, or even maybe practicing dropping the fourth item. But definitely you gave me some pointers that I'm going to implement and try to see if I could let that help me to be successful with my time management. But other than that, we have come towards to the end of our show, and I know Minister LaDon had to step. She stepped out of the studio, but great show, and we thank our listening audience for tuning in on tonight's show. Tell somebody about Tuesday night. Second Tuesdays is always parenting with Evangelist Shamila. She's going to bring you different topics. Feel free to engage. If there's certain things you're being challenged with at home as a parent, feel free to contact her and say, hey, can you talk about this subject or can you talk about that subject? I'm dealing with this now, because she would be more than glad to consider your request and bring that on, because I guarantee you, as a parent, if whatever we're dealing with, there's other parents that's dealing with it. And we're going to be bringing some exciting topics to the parenting show. Even though it's the second, Tuesday of every month, we're going to definitely be bringing some exciting things. And when I say exciting things, some things that may not be as exciting, but definitely is up for discussion, especially as it pertains to single parenting. Whether you're, single parenting as a mom or a dad, I'm sure dads have things that they have to deal with in reference to being a single parent and having daughters. Just like the same thing with women, being a single parent and having sons and the transitions at certain ages that they begin to go through. How do we deal with that kind of stuff? So I'm excited about Second Tuesday. But we hope that you are excited about Second Tuesday. But don't just tune in on Second Tuesday. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, because Woman to Woman is every Tuesday. It's just a special program on Second Tuesdays for parenting. And then we have on Thursday night, we have Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. Feel free to tune in then as well. That's at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time as well. We are currently effective. Our last Monday broadcast was actually last night. And that Monday broadcast is going to be, it's going to once a month. It's going to the first Monday of every month. That broadcast is at 6:30 p.m. and it's Relentless Pursuit. Again, that's once a month at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and it's the first Monday of every month. Again, we thank you for your support and thank you for tuning in to this episode of Woman to Woman, Second Tuesday Parenting. We appreciate you. Have a good evening.